Hi, and welcome to the Vine Community Church podcast. We hope that what you're about to hear will help you to flourish in God's grace and bear fruit through loving God, loving each other, and loving our community.
My name is Tim Barton. I'm the lead pastor here at the Vine. And as you probably know, we are in this season of Advent. And if you were here at the call to worship, Mark told us that today, the theme of that is today is peace. And so we're going to talk about that today, but like I do at times when we're coming up on a sermon, I went out in the community this week and I asked some people, do you want peace? Now, here's a sampling of the answers I got. No one said, no, I don't want peace. It was, yes, I want peace, absolutely. Or, of course I want peace. Why would I not want peace? And then one said, yes, I want peace. I'm tired of all the hatred and all the, I'll just say he said junk. That's not really what he said. Junk that's out there. Yes, all these people, I want peace, I want peace. So I followed that question up with another question. And that was, what would peace look like to you? And that's where the answers were slightly varied. One person said, I want wars to end. One person said, I want to be able to do what I want to do without someone telling me I'm wrong. Some of y'all need to come with me sometimes when I do this. It's fun. But one person said, I want my marriage to be good. One person said, I want my kids to like me. Another person said, I don't care if they like me or not. I just want them to listen to me. Those two ladies were together. I even had one person respond, well, by the way, this was an adult, all right? He said, well, my mom says I'll never have peace because chaos just kind of follows me around. You know, if we lived in other parts of the country or other parts of the world, the answers might be slightly different depending on circumstances and the things people face. But the reality is we long for peace. You know, when we look around and we see things that don't seem right, we see things this is not how it's meant to be, is what our reaction to things we see is. And as we do that, we realize we don't like the brokenness that we see around us. I can't think that anybody in this room's like, oh yeah, I love being unsettled and I love not having peace in my life. We long for it. And so as we come today to this, we're going to look at a passage in the Gospels that Jesus has come and talk about that. And then we're going to see that he's coming again. And we're going to look at a passage in Revelation. And the theme of that today is the peace of God that we see in these two places. And so turn with me to Luke chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 26. And read through 33. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26, and this is God's word. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And so as we come to this passage this morning, our first point is that Jesus has come and he brought peace. We'll have three subpoints on this first section and then another shorter point after. So Jesus has come and he brought peace. The first thing I want us to talk about for a minute this morning from this passage is that, and this is important in our current Christian cultural context, and that is that there's no peace there cannot be peace without the virgin birth. So there's no peace without the virgin birth. We see it mentioned twice in verse 27 that it was to a virgin betrothed to a man, and the virgin's name was Mary. You know, Luke is not leaving out detail here. Luke was a physician who wrote this, and it said he was going to give an orderly account in Luke chapter 1, that was his intention. And so there's a lot of details listed here. Well, this one's listed twice here in one verse, that this was a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph and her name was Mary. Now, why do I take time on this morning? It's because it's popular again in our Western Christian culture to suggest that these things aren't important to Christianity. And what I want to say to you this morning is that Christianity is not possible without what we see here in the virgin birth. Now, that is a really bold claim, but I think it's a biblical one. Because without the virgin birth, there could be no forgiveness of sins. Let me explain why. So since the fall of Adam, go back to Genesis 3. Since the fall of Adam, Adam who served as a representative for all mankind, since then the Bible teaches that we are all sinful. That we all have a sinful nature from the time we are conceived. And that has been passed down by our earthly fathers, ultimately from Adam. So as a result then, Romans tells us, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. So Jesus, born of a woman, was fully man. So born of Mary was fully man. But being conceived by the Holy Spirit enabled Jesus to be human without having the sinful nature that everyone else has. That's why he was able to be obedient. Because even when he was tempted as we are, it's why he was able to be obedient without sin. Because he didn't have a sinful nature. So he was able to fulfill that covenant that Adam, that had been broken by Adam in every human sense. That's how he could take our sin upon himself and save his people from their sins. It's how he could bring peace with God. And that leads us to our second point. Peace with God comes through his grace. Look back to verse 28 through 30. It says, and he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now, have you ever noticed in the birth narrative of Jesus that every time an angel shows up, and it happens a good bit in this birth narrative, what's some version of this is said over and over and over again? What is it? Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Now, when we say that and we think, we can kind of understand, if an angel popped up right here in front of us right now, I think most of us would probably be afraid, right? Like, whoa, what is going on? And so there's that aspect that we can understand it, but there's more than that happening here, and I don't want us to miss that. Because the other thing that is happening here is, if you remember that for the people of Israel, seeing the Lord, seeing Yahweh, and his overwhelming presence would mean what? Death. Right? That's why there's this whole don't be afraid. It would mean death. You remember Moses on Mount Sinai? Moses is up there, he's receiving the Ten Commandments, and he says, Lord, show me your glory. And what does God say to him? In short, that's not a good idea, Moses. That's not going to work out well for you. What he actually says is, Moses, I'm going to put you in this cleft of the rock. And as I pass by, I'm going to cover you with my hand. And when I pass by, you'll be able to look and essentially catch a glimpse of my backside. All right? That's what he tells Moses. Now, what happens after Moses? After this happens, Moses sees God. Moses goes down the mountain, right? As Moses goes down the mountain, and he comes to the people of God, they're like, whoa, you're way too shiny right now. they put a veil over him because he is radiating the glory of God just from catching a glimpse of God's back. And he is radiating it. And so for the people of Israel then, they knew that sinful mankind could not look upon God and live. So for these Jewish people who are now seeing and even being in the, they thought that seeing and even being in the presence of a heavenly being as a representative of God, that was terrifying to them. Now add to that, it's been 400 years since they had heard from God. And now this angel shows up to Mary, this teenage girl. Now, if we had a list up here, and I don't, but if you had a running list up here of who the most likely people that an angel would show up to, and you go through this whole list, rulers and kings and the people who knew the law, and you go through this whole list, Mary wouldn't even be on the list. And yet, that's who he comes to. And so it's understandable then that it says Mary was greatly troubled and she was trying to discern this greeting. But the angel says, don't be afraid. Why? Because Mary, you've done a lot of stuff to set yourself apart. Now, that's not what it says. Don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. You are, in our words for today, you were at peace with God. The Greek word translated here for favor is the same word that's used throughout Scripture for grace in many places. And I said this last week, but the angel told Mary that she was set apart, favored, because she had found favor. Not because she had gone looking for it and figured it out on her own. She didn't receive grace because of anything she had done or anything special in her. This favor, this grace had been given to her by God. That means that Mary didn't have to be afraid. Because in being given this favor and this grace of God, she was given peace with God. She was no longer at odds with him as she came in this angel's presence. She didn't have to be afraid. Now, that's not unique to Mary. That's not unique to her. It's true for all who surrender to God, who confess our unworthiness due to our sin, and submit to him through the work of Jesus. Trusting that Jesus came to bring peace between the sinner and God. Well, let's talk a little bit more about how that happens. That's our third subpoint. And that is that peace with God through Jesus is lasting. Look at verses 31 through 33. It says here, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." So he's saying you can have peace with God, or for us today, you can have peace with God because of what God has done for you through Jesus. This name here, verse 31, "You shall call his name Jesus," Yeshua. The name means the Lord is salvation. That's what Jesus' name means. In Matthew 1:21, when the angel's talking to Joseph, we see it spelled out even more clearly. It says that when he says, "You'll call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins." And then we get this section, verses 22 through 23, that we tend to read over it at Christmas time. It's one of those passages we read. It's like, "He'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David. He'll reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever and ever." And we get excited about that. And we should, but I don't think we always know why. Why should we get excited about that? Because it's a direct fulfillment. Each of these phrases are direct fulfillments of Old Testament passages, of Old Testament promises, promises in Deuteronomy, promises in 2 Samuel, promises throughout the prophets, promises in the Psalms. And so these are direct fulfillment of that. And as it's a fulfillment, It ushers in this kingdom that will have no end, that is forever and ever. But apart from Jesus' first coming, no one had the ability to be at peace with God. Justly and rightfully so, everyone stood in the ultimate wrath and judgment of God. Apart from Jesus, we were completely opposite from the peace of God. Instead, we were at war with him, and he with us, because of our sinful nature, because of our personal sin that flows from that nature. We might not have recognized it. Most of us don't sit around and go, I'm at war with God. I was at war with God, right, before Jesus. That's not how we sit around and think. I would venture to guess that even if you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus, that you're not sitting around thinking, I'm at war with God. But what God's word tells us is that we are at war with him because nothing can bring peace between us and God except for what Jesus has done. That means Mary, that means you, that means me, it means we are all the same, all sinful men and women separated from and at war with God apart from Jesus' work. But this passage and others like it show us that by faith in Jesus, by faith in who he is and what he's done for those who believe in him, for those that have that faith, peace has been provided for us. We are no longer at war with God. Instead, we have a declared and objective peace with God. That means that on God's side of things, there's peace because he's removed the cause of enmity. He's removed the intense hostility. How did he do that? He did it by dealing with sin. The reason for the enmity and being at war with God is our sin. Jesus dealt with that. God dealt with that through sending his son. On our side, or the follower of Jesus' side, we have received peace with God because we believed him. And the righteousness of Jesus has then been credited to us. Now, some of you are sitting there and going, okay, we're talking about peace. All these things, and I'm using this word intentionally, I've been saying peace with God. Right? Because we can have, we need to learn to live in this declared peace we have with God, but it's true that while we live in this peace with God, right, that while we do that, that doesn't mean we are always experiencing the peace of God. That's the peace we often think of. That's the peace we long for. Is the peace of God. And for followers of Jesus, we see it when we learn to be at rest in him in all circumstances. It does not mean that now that we have peace with God, all the circumstances of our life will just get better. That's important. And we say things, trying to say things very clear here. Sometimes we do and it works, and sometimes we don't, and thankfully the Holy Spirit still works through that. But there are a lot of false teachings out there that suggest that, well, you know Jesus, then everything's going to be, and I'll use the phrase hunky-dory, or everything's just going to be better all the time. Your experience says that can't be true. Because if it's true, if that's true, if it's I know Jesus and I have enough faith and everything's going to be better all the time, then I must not know Jesus. You know what's going on in my life, Tim? Right? But that's not what the Bible teaches. We still live in a broken world. We still have remaining sin within us. And newsflash, so does every other person you interact with. Right? If I have sin and they have sin, guess what's going to happen at times? There's going to be brokenness. And so we need to remember that we can be at peace with God, know we are at peace with God, and still have times where we're not experiencing the peace of God. So what do we do? We ask Him. We ask God, with whom we are at peace through Jesus, to teach us to be at rest in Him in all circumstances. I was talking to someone in between services, and I know that their job situation is pretty rough. He goes, well, what do I do? And he was kind of joking as we were talking back and forth. I said, you know, you can pray that God gives you a new job. God delights to give good gifts to His children too, so that's the other side of this. But while praying that, pray also that the Lord will give you rest and peace in the circumstances you're in now. Just so you don't think this is me up here and I've got all this figured out, Friday, it is my day off, and usually Carrie Ann's off on that day too, but she was doing substitute teaching, and so I'm at the house and doing some different things. I'd spent some time reading and praying, and as the morning goes on, I'm just grumpy. I was irritated. And the worst part was I couldn't even figure out why I was grumpy or why I was irritated. I'm like, I'm teaching on peace this week, and I sure don't feel it right now. And I'm going, what is going on? And the more I couldn't understand why I was grumpy or why I was irritated, the more grumpy and irritated I got. And then I went, wait a minute. There is only one thing I can do with this right now. Even sitting here and trying to figure out what it is isn't going to help me as much as this. And I paused and I said, Lord, I don't want to be this way. I want to experience Your peace. I want to trust You that whatever's going on in my heart right now, that You're working. And everything was better. Not actually. It took about 6 hours of that. Of back and forth. Of I would think, okay. And then I start to do something and it just come again. I'm like, Lord, here it is again. Here it is again. As I went through the day, it wasn't like I was just sitting there the whole time. I'm fixing things, trying to do different things around the house. And I just kept having to come back to it. You know, sometimes that takes weeks. Sometimes it takes months. Sometimes it takes years. But it's the only place we have to go. And it's the best place we have to go. Because Jesus came, we can have peace with God. And we can continue growing and learning to experience the peace of God. We can continue growing and learning how to demonstrate that peace of God to those around us. And we do all of that as we look forward to the truth that He is coming again. And that's our second main point. It will be shorter, I promise. That is that Jesus is coming again, and He will bring full and lasting peace for His people. Now, we do that by going to Revelation chapter 22. We're going to look at verses 1 through 5. And as I get ready to read that, let me just make sure again we're all on the same page here. A very short, brief summary of the book of Revelation as we get to this. And that is, number one, Jesus wins. Number two, as Jesus wins, everything that is opposed to Jesus will be destroyed. Right? And then the point of the book is that for those, there is a beauty. So after it goes through all this, everything that's opposed to Jesus will be destroyed. People will worship Him. There is this beauty of Jesus' return for those who are humbly submitting to and trusting in Him. And we see here a picture of the full and lasting peace with God and the resulting peace of God forever and ever. So look there, Revelation 22, we're going to read verses 1 through 5. It says, Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. So the first thing I want us to see in this passage is that peace will come through the uninterrupted flow of his grace. We see that here in this river of the water of life. Where does it say the river of the water of the life of life is flowing from? It says from God, from the throne, right? And of the Lamb. Now, do you remember who the Lamb of God is? Actually, answer out loud. Jesus. Okay, this Lamb of God is Jesus, and the whole book of Revelation is showing that. We also know back from John, the Gospel of John, that when John the Baptist sees Jesus coming, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And so already that was being proclaimed. But this river flows from the throne, from the throne of God and from the Lamb. So this Jesus, the one who came as the final sacrifice, the one who shed his blood to take away the sin of the world, the sin of all those who repent and humbly submit to our need of him, that's who this river flows from. It's flowing from God. It's flowing from the Savior. Now, many of you have already probably made this leap in your mind, but we know from John chapter 7, when Jesus is teaching on this, Jesus says, "Anyone who thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Okay, what Jesus is doing there, and if you look at verses 37 through 39 in John 7, you can go back and look at that later. He's saying, "I'm the one that, by my grace, I'm the one that provides the living water." And then he says that while we're on this earth, this living water, this continued ministry of his grace, this provision of his grace is ministered to his people by the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what he says in John 7:39. But here in this picture now, when Jesus returns, when things are made new, when we're fully in his presence, we will the peace God's people will continually have is seen here through this continued flow of the river of life. It comes through his grace. It is a picture of his continual, unending grace for his people. And it's important imagery. See, we just kind of read middle of the street of the city, okay, move on. But when in civilizations, when they were built, what were they typically built around? They were built around water. Why? Because it was necessary for life. And so this picture is this grace, this river of life running through the middle of the city. It is the core, it is the central piece of the fact that we will have peace with God and the peace of God forever. It comes through this river of life. Everything else is built around it. Everything. Now, is everything else in your life built around Jesus and his grace? Is the way you view work, is the way you deal with conflict in marriage, is the way you deal with wayward children, is the way, and I could go on and on. Is everything else in your life centered around the grace of our Lord Jesus? His grace is where we find peace with God. And it's the only place we're going to find the peace of God. And the peace of God is for his people forever. That's my final point here. You see aspects of this in verses, the second part of verse 2 through verse 5. Because Jesus has come and fully and finally dealt with the conflict, as the rest of the book of Revelation demonstrates, verses 2-5 show us that things are going to be made fully new, or fully made new. Because in his presence, these are just some highlights, he will constantly nurture his people. The tree of life with 12 kinds of fruits for every month. I don't really think there's going to be months in heaven, but it's a picture for us that there is always going to be God sustaining nurture for his people. There will be no lack. There won't be any worry or anxiety because everything will be provided for. He'll heal the pain and the suffering. He'll stop the wars. There'll be no relational strife. There'll be no darkness. Why is all that true? Because there will be no end to his reign or to the reign of his people with him. There'll be no end to his reign or the reign of his people with him. What was the promise to Mary? His kingdom will be forever and ever. What was the promise to the people in the Old Testament? His kingdom will be forever and ever. That means that when we have peace with him, and as we walk through this life day by day, we can experience some of that peace now. Dave, if you'll go ahead and put that next slide up. In his first coming, we have full peace with God. And we have some of the peace of God. We keep running to him. We keep asking him to show us that peace, to help us trust him so that we'll have it. And he's gracious. We see it in things that we see in the world around us, that he shows us different aspects of his peace. But in the second coming, we will have full peace with God and the full peace of him. So as we prepare for the Lord's table today, I just want to ask you to, you know, I asked you earlier, if you're in those places where you want to experience more of the peace of God, keep going to him. Keep asking him for that. Keep handing your worries and your fears and your sins over. And let him keep growing you that on the, in that on this earth. But I also want to ask you that as we prepare for the Lord's table, that you ask the Lord to show you, and as he does, repent of any place where you're not letting Jesus and his grace be the center of your life. You're not letting that dictate how you view a situation or how you view things going on around you. You're not applying that to the worry. And there is, let me just leave it at that. And you're not applying that in that way. Ask him to show you that. And ask him, take that time to repent of it and to say, Lord, teach me to view you at the center of everything in my life. And then we'll come together to the Lord's table in just a moment. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we consider these things, Lord, as you've shown us places where we're not allowing you to be at the center, Lord, we're reminded that you tell us that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, you are faithful and you are just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, you have declared that we have peace with you when we come humbly before you, acknowledging our sin. And so, Lord, as we come to this table, we celebrate that truth that we have been given peace with you through the work of Jesus. And Lord, we also come to this table asking that you take these ordinary things, Lord, this means of grace, and that through it, Lord, you minister the peace into our hearts where we can rest and trust in who you are and what you're doing and all things that we face right now. Lord, we come humbly asking you to work, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us for this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at thevinecc.com, download our mobile app, or visit us on Facebook or Instagram at thevinecc. Have a great week.